Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, hello everyone again. It's the great Brad and Body Podcast show, and Body, it's great to have you here, mate.
It's great to be here. It's big news. Go, tell the world. Tell the world.
Well, the reason I said great is we have some absolutely fantastic news. For those of you who follow us on Twitter and Facebook, you would have known, but the Brad and Body Podcast is forming a partnership with Piranha Media, and we are now part of their group. Now, what does that mean? Well, I can tell you, being a part of their Racing, Pacing, Chasing, which is three internet TV shows about the racing code, which I've watched a couple of those, Body. They're great. Have you watched those?
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, there's an AFL footy show hosted by Greg Anderson, who used to be obviously with Essendon Crows and Port Adelaide, backed by a key man, Nathan Grimmer. But wait for it. It's also Basketballer Hall of Fame, Phil Smythe.
Yep, the general.
The general. God bless the general. Yep. They've also got a community footy show reporting on inner metro and country footy leagues and special documentaries throughout the year. And there is none bigger than their first guest in April. So watch out for that, Body. But speaking of guests, well, do we have a beauty this week? Well, as I said, there is none better than who we've got today. Now, for our listeners, you would have known we have had a lot of coaches on recently, but this time we tried to divert it a little bit, and we have a superstar of the NBL, and see if you can pick it. This guy is obviously plays for the Sydney Kings at the moment in the National Basketball League. He's a small forward. He was drafted 54th overall by the Houston Rockets in the 2007 NBA draft. He was also a member of the Australian under-19s team that won the gold medal in the 2003 FIBA Championships in Greece, where he scored 16 points, mind you. Born in Adelaide, getting closer to Body. He's played all around. He graduated in the Institute of Sport in 2004, signed with the Townsville Crocodiles, and who can forget what a great rookie season he had in the 2004-05, where he also won the All-Star Game MVP, which I think he had about 70 points in that game. He's played overseas. He's done unbelievable. Houston Rockets and Los Angeles drafted rights to him. He's played in, Panios? Work with me. How do you say it?
Panionios, I don't know.
Thank you. Turkey, Lithuania, Turkey, Lithuania, Spain. He's played everywhere, and none other. And I'm sure you've all got an absolute legend of a bloke, Brad Newley. Thanks for joining us.
Gee, mate, you can keep on going. I'm enjoying that.
Mate, that would have taken up the whole half an hour.
No, thanks for having me on, guys. It's a lovely, lovely rainy day here in Sydney. We're not underwater, so that's good.
But, you're the only one.
Yeah, happy to be chatting with you guys right now.
So, Brad, let's go through. I'm just looking back through your career, and there was a game that you played in the Greek League where you scored 32 points, 12 of 12. You made 8 of 8 three-pointers. You set a new record in the Greek Basketball League. How does that feel to have that sort of game? Like, can you throw yourself back to that game and just, were you seeing the ring like a hula hoop? Or how does that, you know, every time you release the ball, you just know it's going down. That's got to be the best feeling in basketball.
Yeah, that was a really interesting story, that one. What had happened was, I think it was like week four of the league or week three. And I arrived in Greece, like, I think it was like August/September, and the league didn't start till October, and we were kind of playing some preseason games, and there was a few rumblings around our coach. And you know, when I first arrived, this coach said to me, he said, "Look, mate, if you can play in Greece, you can play anywhere." So I took that on board, and I reckon after the first game, we come into training the following Monday, and I'm looking at all the Greek boys, it's all quiet. And I said, "What's going on?" And they go, "Hey, new coach." I said, "What?" So the guy that I was playing for had been released, and we brought in a new coach after round one. So, and the impending coach was a big fan of mine. And week we put in a whole new bunch of sets and plays. We come up against Ike, who was a cross-town rival of ours, and came off, you know, first set, come off a few screens, knocked the first one down. Okay, the second one down. And before you know it, I've hit 8 of them, and they're all coming off pin downs, and you know, everyone's going crazy. And had a photo in the local newspaper with 8 basketballs, and it was all written in Greek and all that kind of stuff, but it was a fun time, and it just happened to be under this new coach in his first game. I just put this performance on, and him and I actually still speak to this day. So it was a pretty good thing for me to kind of kickstart my career over there, and it's something that people still talk about. I went back and played for Ike who was the team that I did that against, and they always wanted me to repeat that performance.
You do that for us now. You do that for us.
That was 13 years ago, man. But it was a lot of fun, and you know, I look back at those times, and yeah, how it was for a 21, 22-year-old to be over there playing as an import was a big thing for me, a big experience, and you know, it's something I take in my stride.
Can I ask, Brad, you've played all over the world, mate, and, you know, people don't have a resume like you have. What's it like? I mean, from what I understand, Greece is just another level when you talk of atmosphere. But, you know, Turkey, Lithuania, Spain, just talk to me about some of the crowds and what you have travelled and seen.
Yeah, I mean, I've played games all over the place. We played one game in Russia, and you could see Japan from the mainland. That's how far away from the rest of Europe we were. That's just an example of the travel conditions that we used to go through. I guess with Greece, I was lucky enough to kind of get there right before it kind of imploded a little bit, as in like the league, and there were some salary issues. I kind of made hay a little bit while it was kind of in the good times. You know, because there'd be some games where you'd have a packed house, you know, people hanging off the rafters, and the next week it'd be completely empty because of crowd violence and things thrown on the floor, and you know, they just weren't allowed to have people at the games. That was their punishment. So we'd be pleading with our fans to be rowdy, but not too rowdy, you know. So, you know, that was a little example of some of the things. And I moved to Turkey, which was quite similar. I played for Beşiktaş, which fellow South Australian, Brett Marr, that played for a period of time once upon a time. And they had a similar type setup. You know, we were a soccer club as well. So we had a lot of our soccer fans would come to the big games. And, you know, that was a lot of fun. Then I moved over to Lithuania, where I was. That was where I made my EuroLeague debut, and that, you know, that was the best league to play in Europe at the time. The EuroLeagues with the pinnacle club competition, and you know, that's the top two, very similar to the soccer. The top two teams will play in it, and you know, there we'd regularly play in front of 13,000, 14,000, you know, wild Lithuanians, you know, chugging their beers, yelling at referees, and you know, it was that was a lot of fun playing there. We got to the, you know, the top 16, which was, you know, the club's best that it had ever done in its history. And you know, from there, my dream was always to play in the Spanish league, which was the best domestic league in Europe. And I finally got there. I think I was about 26, 27 at the time, and that's where I stayed for the next 5 years in the Spanish league. And that's probably the place that I really enjoyed the most. You know, first of all with Valencia. And then I moved over to the Canary Islands, where, you know, that's kind of where I set up home.
There's that great story that when Bridget was having your firstborn, Beth, that you were missing a game because she was being born that particular night. So, and tell us that story, because, I mean, people who aren't lucky enough to live in Adelaide and have read it in the Advertiser back when it happened, they don't know about it. And it's such a good story, Brad.
There's a few versions of it, and it's getting more and more mayo as the years go. you know, it was. I think we have, so in Spain, you play the basketball league play either Saturday night or Sunday morning. Sunday morning meaning like midday, which is morning in Spain. So they don't clash with the soccer league, which is the biggest competition, you know, in Europe. So we would play our games either Saturday night or Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock. So this particular Saturday night, Bridget and I just, you know, way down the track with our first child, but she wasn't due to be born, you know, till, you know, end of November, and this was end of October, so we weren't really expecting anything, and we're just watching TV, and okay, there's something going on here, and anyway, we were having kind of the baby on the sly, so because we weren't permanent residents of Spain at the time, so we had a few little backdoor things that we had to go around for it to happen. We picked up the midwife. I called my physio saying, my wife is in labor, and he hardly spoke English. And he's like, okay, you pick up the, I'll come to your house. We pick up the doctor and we go to the hospital. So, all right, this is happening. So Bridge, fortunately, I've spoke a lot better Spanish than what I did. So she was going through it all, and get to the hospital, and Beth was born the following morning at 9 a.m. and the game was at midday. And I spent the night in hospital with Bridge, and I was probably thought, oh, I won't play and all this. And we started watching the game, and Bridge was on the phone to her mother back in Adelaide, and my mum was on her way over, and we're sitting there, just, you know, what the game was on. And I spoke to the coach in the morning, said, look, coach, I won't be at the game. And he kind of understood, because, you know, it was pretty not an ideal situation to try and play a game that after not sleeping or whatever, but the adrenaline kicks in. And as it was, our stadium was on the main highway of the island, which was on the same highway as where the hospital was. So it was probably a 5 euro fare from the hospital to the stadium. So I'm watching the game, and we go on down. Like the guy who came in, the local kid who was playing in my spot, he goes down with injury. The other import backcourt, me and another guy called Ben Hansborough, we were the two and the three, and he went down as well. So all of a sudden, we got no players, and we're down 20, and we're just kind of in the hospital. And I said to Bridget, I think I could play, maybe, what do you reckon? She's on the phone and whatever. And then I get a message from the GM. He said, hey, Brad, how you doing? I was like, yeah, good. Not looking good, Bertie. And he said, can you get to the game? I said, oh, yeah, I'll see how I go. So I go downstairs. There's always cabs outside of hospitals. Arrive. I get there in the halftime kind of period as they're starting the second half. I run up and down the stairwell twice, get taped up, and I'm thinking I'm only going to go in if we have a situation where we have four players, where it's completely grim. Pedro looks at me as I'm walking and goes, you're in. So I've gone in. We've gone on a 25-0 run. I look up. We're up 11 points. I've scored 9, had 5 boards, pointing to the crowd, hanging off the rim. We win the match. Crowd going berserk. In the meantime, half the bench knew that I was having I didn't know I was having a daughter. We didn't know the sex. And they all go, we all knew you were having a daughter. We just didn't tell you. Which was that was lovely of the guys to do that to me. But I go straight from the court. The doctor's waiting downstairs in his BMW and racing straight to the hospital. No shower. Get back to the hospital, and there we are, back together again. So Bridge was crying because she'd missed the game. And, you've just given birth. But that was the story, basically. And kind of blew up in the media over Mate, there and got a bit of a I following.
Heard-
and,
I heard she was crying because you came back. Was that not
yeah,
true?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people have frowned at me because I kind of took the limelight off my wife having have a child. But with our boy Charlie, I missed the game for that one. He was born in the comforts of North Shore Private at St. Leonard's there. So a little bit of a different scenario, that one. But anyway, that was the tale of that story, and I'm sure it'll grow over the years. It'll probably end up having 40 points.
Yeah. great story. Yeah. Mate, I want to go a little bit forward now. So you've got to the end of Spain. I think you in the Canary. I think you said Canary or whatever it was. You finished there, and then up comes the Sydney Kings. New owners come in. Jeff Van Groningen's now part of the Kings organization. They look to change up the system, and you were a massive signing. I remember when I heard about that, I was like, wow. Two things I want to ask. One, why did you want to leave Europe? Was it a family thing, or was it just the itch to come back to the NBL? And two, what made you come to Sydney?
Yeah, that's another interesting and kind of longish story. So I'll get started. Am I on a timer or anything? So I was overplaying in Europe, and I was coming into my fourth. I just finished, coming to the end of the fourth season over there, and I had an option to stay another year. And I think I just turned about 30 or 31, 31 maybe, and Beth was about to be 3-ish. I can't remember the exact details, but I had an approach from an agent in Adelaide. I won't name his name, but I'm sure you'll figure out who it was. And he was looking for my information. I said, yeah, here it is. And he passed that on to Jeff. And, Jeff presented quite an interesting email, and I forwarded that on to my European agent. And, we discussed some things. And it was an opportunity for me. I always wanted to come back to the NBL, and I didn't want to come back and just kind of finish off. I wanted to kind of play well and do well. And I was in a situation with my European contract where I could have stayed the next year, but I would have had to wait until about June, July for that to kind of be confirmed, as I was an import at the time, and teams kind of take a little bit longer with their imports. And, Sydney presented me with a 3-year plan, 3-year contract, and I had for that 3 years to work out, it would have worked out to be about the same as what I was going to get in that year and a half period. So I kind of sacrificed, a year of Europe to make that over 2 years in Australia. So that was the decision I had to make. And, the Kings were putting pressure on me to kind of get that signed because they wanted to get on with their roster. Whereas I couldn't really tell my club at the time, and who I loved. And that was a hard decision for me to make. Anyway, I kind of inadvertently kind of agreed.
So hang on.
Yeah, go boy.
No, I was going to say that. But so even though you've grown up loving Adelaide 36ers,
mm-hmm.
you've talked to an Adelaide agent and you've gone mm-hmm. to Sydney. Brad, I don't think we can be friends anymore.
Brad, we can definitely be friends. Don't worry about body mate.
The fact that the approach was actually made, and you know, it was quite a handsome offer for me to be made, from when the NBL had been to where it had got to, it was something I really had to think about. And I was on the phone to my dad and all this.
Yep.
We worked through a process. My European agent, he thought it was a pretty good opportunity for me to take. And, you know, we kind of agreed and kind of had to wait for the end of the year to have the discussion with my club in Spain. And, you know, they were willing to, you know, for me to go ahead with it. And, you know, I was in tears when I told my Spanish team. I really was upset to leave because I love the place. And, you know, Bridget and I, Beth was about to be, you know, she was getting older and, you know, the opportunities in Europe were not, they were still there, but we didn't really want to leave where we were. And I didn't want to risk having to wait that long to kind of know where I was going to be. And I guess as a professional sportsman, you get something in like a 3-year kind of deal, you know, you put in your 30s, it's kind of something you can't really say no to. So, right. You know, and to us, you know, we're from Adelaide, but, you know, Sydney's a 2-hour flight, not a 27-hour flight,
yep.
like we'd been living in. So to come home, you know, it was a tough decision. I was really up, you know, I was upset to have to leave, and I still have friends over there. And, you know, we made ourselves home here in Sydney. So I think I've talked about the first part of the question for so long, I forgot what the second part was, Brad.
No. You've answered it. It was, you know, the first question was why'd you leave, and two, why Sydney? And you've just answered it. So that was great. So
The club was, I could, you know, looking at the moves that were being made, and I was kind of watching the NBL from a distance. I think what had happened in that during the negotiation, actually, Townswood just dropped out. So I kind of, that scared me a little bit for a minute, just seeing that happen.
Mm.
But, you know, the management here in Sydney via my agent kind of kept me in the loop. You know, we're not going down that path. And, you know, when I first came here, we were playing in front of 5,000. I think the pinnacle was, you know, I think, you know, that game last year, we played in front of 15 in the playoff match, I think. In a way, I felt really part of that process, you know, building the profile right back up, you know, having some helpers like Andrew Bogut and, you know, Kevin Lish definitely helped. But I'd like to think that, you know, it was good to be part of that process, and, you know, basketball is kind of back on the rise again.
Let me ask you, you've been overseas for a long time, so this is a two-part question. But one, what was the best thing about coming back to Australia? I mean, you've been over there for like more than a decade. And two, did you pick up any language, other languages when you were...
Muy, muy poquito español. Muy, muy poquito. Very, very little Spanish.
I thought that was Adelaide speak.
That's Rundle lingo right there.
We're just talking code.
Yeah, I think, you know, coming home, I went to Europe at such a young age. I think a lot of guys now are going when they're kind of mid-20s, you know, almost 30. I was a 21-year-old kid, you know, when I was there. So I grew up there, I think. And it was funny when we came home, Bridge and I, like, we'd never known how to rent a house or have deals. Like, we'd never done that before. And I think coming back to Australia was a bit of a chance for us to grow up a little bit, because when you're an import, you tend to get looked after quite well. So, coming back to Australia was a bit of a wake up call for us, and you know, we grew up, you know, having a bit given to us. So when we came here, we had to do that. So you know, being home has been fun. You know, the drop of a hat. Before COVID, of course, we could just go home and visit and have her parents or my parents come over and see us when they want. And you know, we still are, like, right now we are away from home, but we bought a house here in Sydney now. So you know, we're setting up shop here. So it's good to be home for sure.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I just want to ask a question. So now let's talk very quickly. I mean, mate, it's awesome to speak to you. We could ask all day. But the 2004 Crocs, right? Now, if I'm not mistaken, you had some serious people like John Riley, Rob Rose, Pat Riddy. You know, you had some really core players. Then you come back to, 15 years later or whatever, and now you're playing, you know, with Bogues. And talk to me about the difference back then to now. Do you think the league's better? Do you think it's harder, different, taller, smaller? What do you think?
I mean, I try to compare it. Like, I was looking, if you look at the numbers, I think it's hard to compare because the games were 48 minutes back then. Now they're 40. Mm-hmm. You know, bench players would play anywhere upwards of 20 minutes a game. And, you know, as a rookie, I was coming playing 20 minutes, averaging 17, 18 points, and only because you could do that because the game was longer. I think the main difference, you know, the three-point line going out has changed the game a lot more. I feel like, you know, the game has got people shoot the ball better than what they did from, not shoot the ball better because the line is further out. I think now like the shooters kind of have come to the core a little bit more than what they used to be. I mean, back then everyone would be shooting jump shots and these kind of things. Now the three-point line is such a huge thing. You know, the athleticism has probably gone to another level. I remember kind of coming in at the time, I was probably, there wasn't a whole lot of young guys getting on the rim, you know, finishing up and above it. Now that seems to be quite a little bit more common. But, you know, for what it was still a very good league at the time. And it definitely has changed a little bit as far as probably, you know, a little bit of the athleticism, I think, has gotten a bit better. But definitely the style of offense has changed a bit. It's a lot more pick and roll based, whereas back then we was a lot more cutting based. So there's some things that have kind of evolved over time. I think the scouting also, like the amount of things you can scout, you know, the videotape, that's another thing that blows me away now. Like I tell guys, we would just sit in the club office and put a video on and press play, you know, and that was it. Now it's just like every little thing is broken down into the little pieces. So in a way, I guess I kind of came into the league at a time when gone from, you know, the technology of it's just gone through the roof, and, you know, the amount of games on television as well. Like I think there's a lot of games that I played in great, like my career high game was 46. I don't think there's any vision of that because it was played, you know, not on television. So, you know, those kind of things you kind of envy a little bit as a player from that generation. But at the same time, you know, the stories can be better.
No one can argue.
Now, Brad, we have a thing where we like to throw some names at our guests and they can then respond with a one-word answer, a description of the person that we've thrown at them, or a sentence, or if you've got an anecdote. So, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Because this is the tough.
I've got a few I reckon that I know are coming in. So I've been thinking all day who might come in.
Okay. I'll start it off. I'm coming in with Ian Stacker.
First coach, mentor, someone I still speak to regularly.
I'll come in with the second one, and you know this one's coming, but I've got to ask. Andrew Bogut.
Tough son of a bitch.
All right, let's stay with Andrew's. I'm going Andrew Gaze.
Lovely person.
Okay, I thought there was more coming.
If anyone, he is an absolutely lovely bloke. And
yes,
he is.
You cannot speak poorly of Andrew. He's just a great human being. Even to this day, he'll write me a message saying great game and these kind of things. And even when his time here in Sydney ended, like it was just, he just wished me nothing but the best. And all these kind of things. And, you know, as a kid growing up, I loved that era of basketball. I was at games. Body probably saw me when I was this little blonde kid walking around the powerhouse. I was at all those games. And, you know, just growing up, watching him play, then, you know, having him coach me. And he taught me, probably the one thing I took from playing under him was more kind of the enjoyment of basketball, I guess. That's what he tried to get me to do the most. And you could see the way he is in the day-to-day, and that's probably one thing I learned up from him the most.
No, brilliant. I'm going to throw someone at you, and I mentioned him before, John Riley.
Early partner in crime, early roommate. He was a kid. I remember I would ring John. I had his phone number somehow. And as a nine-year-old, I would just ring him from Alice Springs and ask about Adelaide and the 36ers because our dads played against each other in the old state days. And, and I think just going full circle, he was probably someone I learned a lot of how to be a professional. So the ultimate professional, I would say.
Great one.
Kevin Lish.
Another new roommate, Aussie Kev, I like to call him. He calls me Aussie Brad. I call him Yank Kev, but we have a bit of a thing going. He's joined the dark side. He's a coach now. So, but we have a good relationship. Our wives get along great, and we try to see each other as often as we can off the court. But yeah, it's just, he's very similar in that Andrew Gaze mode. You just can't, he actually sometimes makes you feel like a bad person, but you're not, you're just existing. That's how good a person he is.
I've got one more to throw at you. We could go all day here, but Jayshon Tate.
Jayshon Tate. Well, he's just, I think just the perfect example of putting in the hard yards, you know, come all the way to Australia, not a lot known about you, and doing everything right. You know, the perfect example of Jay Sean. I was at a post-game functional once, and sitting there, and I just had a beer, and I said, Jay Sean, do you want a drink? He goes, yeah, get me one of those 4X. Like the fact, like a 4X gold, you know, it's a pretty Ocker type beer, but this American guy was just sitting there having a beer with me after a game. And to me, I was like, this guy knows it, you know, he gets it. And that really just for him, and that I think that's why we hit it off, just that kind of relationship. And he bought in, and I'm really happy to see him doing things now. He owes me a few ice creams now, I'd say.
Now, before Brad winds you up and says it's time for us to let you go, I've got the question that all Adelaide 36ers fans would want to know the answer to from you. Is it, how is it that you never ended up playing for the 36ers? There was a period there where I think you might have signed with them, and then that was when you got drafted by the Rockets. But how is it that never really kind of panned out?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. Like, I even go in to play games at Adelaide, and I just see things about the Sixers, and I can't help but, you know, be a fan of all that stuff. And, you know, Boddy, you know my family history really well. Like, my dad is involved in history meetings of basketball. South Australia was the president of a basketball club for a lot of years. And not only that, he was a great player in his day, and my mum as well. And it's funny. I had a moment when I ran out. I think it hasn't really hit me, but it only really hit me this year. I run out, and I look on the baseline, and there's like Mark Lampshear, Don Shipway, a whole bunch of old Adelaide names. And they'd be thinking, that's Arthur's son.
Yeah.
And just kind of, it felt kind of weird. It's the first time it's ever really hit me, and it never has hit me before. But even when I played for Townsville, there was that moment. But, I mean, it's just something that, you know, I don't have any bad blood with the 36ers. They were great enough that I signed a contract that would allow me to explore further opportunities, and those opportunities have allowed me to set up a great life for myself through playing professional basketball. And, you know, as a full-time pro in Australia in basketball, like, guys just haven't been able to do that. And now I was lucky enough, I was able to go to Europe and do well, you know, on and off the floor, and give myself a chance to become an Olympian and these kind of things. And in a way, Adelaide's to thank for allowing me to do that. So I've got nothing but good things to say for Adelaide. I've never bagged them out or said anything bad about them. But, you know, it's good that franchise is still going, and I hope it goes for a lot more years.
Yeah. Well, mate, we love you.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I heard you'd sign with the Kings, and obviously I've had a bit to do with the Kings, there was a lot of, you know, noise, Brad's coming, and, you know, he's a good guy, and I didn't have much to do with you, but I have had a little bit to do with you since you come into Sydney. And, mate, you are an absolute, well, legend of our league, but you're absolutely a top bloke. And I can't thank you, and I know Boddy's the same, for coming on, mate. We really appreciate it. You're an NBL legend, and we love having you here, mate. So thank you so much. And, of course, we wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks very much, guys. Good to come on and chat, and I hope I haven't gone over time.
Mate, never. Because you know what?
The more you talk, grab it on, don't worry.
The more you talk, the more we don't have to listen to Boddy, mate. So don't worry.
Can I count this as a business phone call? Because I need some maintenance on my air conditioning. You know a good company that can take care of that kind of stuff?
Mate, I'll just take my number down. You can come back to me.
Oh, no worries, mate. I'll look it up.
You're a good man.
Brad, Brad Rosen, why are you not sponsoring our show?
Yeah, it's a good point. Just for our listeners, I do have an air conditioning company, and I installed it in Brad's house. Is it working? Still?
Well, we haven't had to use it. It's raining. I've got it on the dry setting at the moment. So doing a fantastic job.
Oh, that's good. The dry setting, same as Boddy's humour. Okay, mate. Well, lovely to have you here. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. See
you. Good on you, buddy. Good on you. Well, that was great. Brad Newley, geez, he's a good guy, isn't he, Boddy?
Yeah, and he's our first player, so he's set the bar, and we're only going to have good guys on. So if you get an invitation to Brad and Boddy, you know that we think you're a good human being.
Yeah, that's great. I agree. Well, let's continue on. Can I say, Boddy, and you'll be absolutely devastated, but the big show.
Well, it's a big show. Oh, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Oh, Yeah, the big show's finished. So that's it, the Emil Cup. Well, won by Perth. We just wanted to get one more in there, buddy. Yeah, we just wanted
at
to get
least one.
In there. So let's talk about this round. It's gone, obviously. Can I say, though, there is one game to go. We record this on a Monday, and there is a game tonight, Perth versus Adelaide. We'll just move forward and pretend it's tomorrow and say Perth won that. So that's fine. We can move.
Josh Giddey didn't play. He's hurt his ankle. Probably out at least 3 weeks.
Geez, how well did Bryce Cotton and John Mooney play? So we're just fast-forwarding till tomorrow, so you would have said that. But let's talk about the games that were. Melbourne absolutely getting spanked. That was ridiculous against Sydney.
That was a shock. The loss wasn't a shock, but the manner in which they went down was very surprising. And it meant they had to jump back against Illinois.
And they did, and they were better for it. Perth, we all knew they were better to beat Cairns. Look, I think Phoenix beating Adelaide was a bit of a shock in the sense with what happened during the week, obviously, no Mitch Creek. So that was a good win for them because I thought Adelaide played okay. Still, mind you, without Isaac Humphreys, though.
I thought they did, but I can't understand why you wouldn't start Brandon Paul. He's come in. In his first game, he's come off the bench. He scored 25 points. Guy's played NBA. Start the bloke for crying.
Yeah, man, he was great. But I'll tell you what, can I just say, though, a couple of those end shots, those threes to finish off the game,
okay.
That was like do or die. How many players have done that this year? I'm sorry to say this, and please no disrespect to any players. Bryce Cotton can do it.
Yeah.
Bryce Cotton has done it. For the rest of them, get to the hoop, get to the cup. Brisbane beat New Zealand. Oh, that's things getting worse down there. As we said, Melbourne bounced back against Illawarra. Sydney, that was a good game. Sydney beat Cairns. I don't think Sydney played that well. They just got a win. Cairns had a chance to win it. I think
Cairns has got big problems because I reckon Mike Kelly made a couple of blues in that one. I would have left Nathan Juai out there, and they should have won that game.
What about his body language?
Yeah, it wasn't good, because you know what else? In the Perth game, there was a timeout where they went in. I think it was in the third quarter, possibly, where Mike Kelly absolutely lost it at his players, which he doesn't do very often. Like, make a stand, take a stand. He was exhorting from, I think, about 28 down at the time, and the guy that did was Nate Juai. He went out there and he showed that I will bleed for this club. He's from that area.
I didn't mind him coming off slapping that chair. He wanted to be in the game.
Against Sydney, he should have been out there for the last
play. The last play.
He should have been out there for that. Anyway, let's talk. Yeah.
Let's talk this round, okay?
Yep. One word is quick.
So New Zealand, Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Got it. Perth, Illawarra. And agree. Perth, Illawarra.
Perth.
Oh, geez, I tell you, I'm just waiting for that one Illawarra game where they block out.
It's coming.
Okay, it's coming, but I'm not sure. Brisbane versus New Zealand.
Brisbane again.
Again, mind you, that's not a repeat. It's again. Phoenix versus United. Phoenix home game, both obviously Melbourne teams, but Phoenix home game. Phoenix coming off four games in a row win. Melbourne coming off one win in their last five.
Look, Kiefer Sykes starts to get him back soon. They got Dane Pinot back. They got Adam Gibson back. Ryan Brokoff is still just running into form. He's still not the Ryan Brokoff that he will be later. I think Kiefer Sykes is important, but I'm tending to lean toward Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm with you, actually. Sydney versus Perth on Sunday, Qdos Bank Arena.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. That'll be a really good one. I'm going to favour Perth because you got to, because they're just so consistent. But a Sydney upset there would not be an upset in my mind.
Yeah, I'm going with the home team, Sydney. I don't know why. Just think they will. Cairns, Adelaide.
Oh, you don't know why. I bet every listener knows why.
Cairns, Adelaide.
Cairns, Adelaide. In Cairns. Look, I don't know. I'd love to see how the rest of this week unfolds for both of those clubs in respect to who they can put on the floor, how far away Isaac Humphreys is.
If there's no Humphreys, it's Cairns.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. And then Illawarra versus Brisbane, and that's a beauty in Illawarra.
I think that's going to be very important, that group of teams, Illawarra, Southeast Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney. I think they're the ones that are in the hunt for the two spots behind Perth and Melbourne. So that any fixture involving those teams is vital in a final four scenario. So that's a big one. Illawarra, I'm going to lean toward Illawarra, but I'm not confident.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going with you. Body, come on. Give me a nasty.
My nasty was the last play, the Cairns' last play against Sydney. If you've got time, you've taken a timeout, you're coming in and you're running a play and you don't get a shot off, that's rubbish to me. That is absolute rubbish. And I think that last play was rubbish and they deserve to lose on that alone. But the rest of the game, they had been very good. They put themselves in a winning position. Although, as I said, Mike Kelly erred by not having Nathan Jawai on the floor for that play. Just put him on for that play. Give a big target. Take some pressure off some of the outside guys. I don't know. It was just very poorly run. I'm disappointed for a professional team that you don't get a shot up. That's a pathetic effort. Give me your rattler.
My rattler is, and I don't know where this has been bothering me, the low scores that are going on. There's just so many low scores, and body, I can't pinpoint it. I don't think the refs are calling anything harder than what they normally do.
No.
I don't think the defense is any better than what it used to be. You know, I just can't pinpoint it. Is it just, are they tired? You know, is their shooting percentages down in the league? But the scores are a little bit lower, which is something I haven't seen for a while.
This,
like, you're talking in
round,
the 60s. Yeah.
Were pretty bad in a lot of the games. But yeah, I think it's called Aaron Fern syndrome, where you know, you're trying to keep the scores in the 60s. And that's really good. That's really good for losing a crowd.
Yeah, yeah. That's just something, you know, like, I mean, I think the league's done a fabulous job over the last few years for that. So it will be interesting. Anyway, that's enough for us.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, again, thank you for everyone for listening. Of course, we also want to thank our fantastic team at Piranha Media, which we're very, very excited to be part of. And of course, you can see their Racing, Pacing, Chasing, the AFL show, the Community Footy Show, and special documentaries that throughout the year. And to you, buddy, thanks, mate. It's been another good week.
Yep. Good on you. Let's get out.
Oh, that felt good today, buddy. That was all right. Now, listen, news was great. Did you, have you been watching your little, you know, 90-year-old shows or whatever you watch?
Yeah. And WandaVision. Have you seen WandaVision?
No, because I'm not 90. No, because I...
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Have you got one of those big tube TVs? Have you still got the tube in the back of it?
No. It's a flip.